Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our share with others. As always, that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, on last week, we were finishing up Sheila G., the book of James, the fourth chapter of the book of James. As usual, James was laying the wood down, putting it to everyone, and just letting everyone know that, you know, they really should depend on God and not. And it's, you know, they can do things on their own. And so we pick up in this last chapter of the book of James, and what he's talking about how people should deal with trying to get rich, deal with patience, and dealing with swearing. And then the final part of this, he's talking about prayer, and this is final chapter, and we want to close up any speaking on from what chapter 5 how for your misery that shall come upon you. They're not going to be on top.
Right.
And then it doesn't pay you.
No.
And you, back then, now, sooner or later, but eventually, and close the door.
That's right.
Such graphic words, he says, weep.
Mm-hmm.
You know what a howl is? Have you ever heard someone?
Yes, ma'am.
I think it's like you're like a dog,
mm-hmm.
or a wolf or something.
Right.
This is kind of payback is going to get.
Right.
And I always laugh because, you know, we have our little finite way of, I think, they're going to start howling.
Amen. Yeah.
Stop.
We
want to get rich.
Expense.
Mm-hmm. Like that. Particularly in our government.
Yeah.
In our,
especially in our government.
The people just continually, okay, well, all the rich folk, we're going to keep
you rich.
Right.
And we're going to take whatever y'all have to keep us rich.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So back then, it's the same thing. There's nothing more under the sun.
Right. Okay.
And when you talk about it, I mean, this is like a warning straight from saying that
you going
to happen to
right.
Because all the money in the world, the profit of the man to gain the whole world
mm-hmm.
and lose his soul.
That's right.
And we studied about that where the rich man and Lazarus. He got all the riches.
Amen.
Lazarus suffered, but at the end of the day, Lazarus was God,
mm-hmm.
and the rich man, in his eyes, of
hell.
Amen.
Yeah.
This is what he's talking about. He's talking about this type of suffering. He's talking about this type of payback. This is what for us is that a lot of times, we don't see it. We don't.
Main thing is just try to, you know, have no regrets and just make sure that, you know, at the end of the day, I've tried to do the best I can and know that, you know, I'm not going to be trying to scrambling around, trying to do all this stuff. Just say, look, I've done what I've been able to do. And the main thing is to have the important people around me, any like major issues that I've had, try mm-hmm. to refuse them and just try to go out with a clean heart and being able to say, okay, look, I've done what I've done and I don't regret anything. And that's it.
Off of what he said. I was just sitting here thinking, too. I was like, well, I would probably try to think, who have I wronged and never apologized to? And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I better go apologize and all that. And,
get all that right.
You know, if I got a bucket list, let me look at it and see what's feasible between now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, surround myself with chocolate and bacon.
Hello. Come on. Amen.
I think I would actually step out on faith and do everything that I always wanted to do, that I was afraid to do. Like, if possible, try to do, like, certain careers that I always wanted to try. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, that we just don't know
mm-hmm.
what's in store for us. So to your point, James, that's kind of like if it's a career that you feel that God is leading you to, you're right. It's like we should step out on faith and do it, you
mm-hmm.
know, and just trust and believe that he's going to make a way to do that.
Amen.
And we don't do that, usually because we get in our comfort zone. We get comfortable with where we are, and even if the Lord is nudging us and keeps something heavy on our heart to say, I want you to go in this direction, but you're like, the Lord, I'm comfortable right here, and then you just have to step out on faith.
And so, again, this is the lesson that James is teaching us, is that we need to focus in on really what's important.
Amen.
You know, at the end of the day, he's like, you know, We can look at all these things in the world and we can look at all these things that you know, take up of our time getting back to what's really going to be important.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to tell God, oh my goodness, when you finish your time up on this side? What are you going to tell God? What are you going to say? What's going to be your what had happened was version?
Amen.
Well, see, God, what had happened was, what's going to be the story? Mm-hmm. Is the story going to be, well, I got caught up in sports, and, you know, sports was my life, and, you know, I couldn't, or I got caught up in you know, my job, and I couldn't, or I got caught up in, you know, family, and I couldn't, you know, spend time with you. You know, what's going to be important? What's going to be the story that you're going to be able to tell God? And when you get to that point where you realize that the only thing that you do for God is going to last, then what happens is your life begins to start taking some perspective. And when you have that perspective, what happens is you begin to start saying, you know, I really shouldn't be stressing out for that.
Amen.
I really shouldn't be tripping Amen. For that, you know, because, you know, the stress is really not worth it because it doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't matter. Does it really matter if I drive in a car that costs $100,000 or I drive in a car that costs $10,000 as long as I got some heat and a little bit
Hello.
Of air?
Hello. Hello.
Well. Yeah. So that's the thing. The thing is, you know, practically what when someone buys $100,000 worth of jewelry and they got to wear all of that jewelry,
mm-hmm.
and you got costume jewelry that costs you $100.
Come on.
Can you tell the difference?
Nope. Not unless you know for sure. You're an expert.
Right.
Amen.
Right. But you know that goes to you know. Say what really is important? Is this important? Trying to rob somebody? Trying to stay rich? Trying to be the wealthiest person in the world? Because at the end of the day, when you get sick and you have $10 billion, tens of billions of dollars, and you have no family to come and say, "Hey, what can I do for you?" What was it worth? What was it worth? What was it really worth it? And now your tens of billions of dollars. Who was that fella that Gates? He was not. No. It was the guy from Apple, Steve Jobs. At the end of the day, all of his billions couldn't what? Didn't save his life. And folks are still buying what? iPhones, iPads, and everything else. And he's not getting a dime. And so someone said that at the end of his life, he started saying, "Oh my God, oh my God." I'm going to heaven, or oh my God, I'm going to hell.
All right.
Nobody knows. Mm-mm. Nobody knows. But this is what James is telling us, is to put those things in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at James 5:4. It says, "Behold, the hired laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath." In other words, everybody that you wronged, and this is what's so good about God, is that everybody that you wronged, everybody that you treated wrong, all the suffering today that God's going to hold you accountable for.
Mm.
Wow. Isn't that something? Can we scroll back in our minds and see how many people we dogged?
Amen.
And if it's coming to the end next week, anybody I've offended, I want to make amends with.
It's important to do that, because here, the rich folk that did everything wrong, he said, "God got a record of that. He knows everybody you did wrong that cried and was miserable because of you." So all these people that kept people in slavery,
mm-hmm.
kept people oppressed, they got to answer that thing.
Amen.
My goodness. Amen. And the thing is that one of the punishments that we saw in Luke, one of the punishments is when you don't make it to heaven, one of the punishments is you can see the folk in heaven
right.
a wonderful time,
Come on.
And you can't get there.
Amen.
That's a part of the punishment.
Amen.
You can't get there,
Amen.
But you can see them having a good time.
Good time.
Those people that you treated bad and whipped, mm-hmm. enslaved, and oppressed, you'll be able to see them, but you won't be able to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. And here's what James is saying. He's saying, "Look, I'm just telling you, everybody that you did wrong, God heard that. Somebody does you wrong. Know for sure that there's going to be a time where they have to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a time."
Mm-hmm.
All them folk that dogged you out, y'all might have some supervisors on your job that dogged you out.
Amen.
Anybody ever had a supervisor?
Yeah, done had them.
Supervisor that dogged you out, caused you heartache, misery, mm-hmm. and pain, they're going to have to answer that too.
Amen.
and so the thing is don't get worried, don't get upset about it, because God's got it. God's going to take care of it. He's going to make for sure He gonna make for sure that they understand that that was not pleasing to him, and that there's consequences for treating people wrong. So, what lesson should we learn, Dr. G? Mm. What lesson should we learn about treating people wrong for our own gain?
Well, we need to start learning now, but we can't do those types of things and think that we're going to always get away with it. Because somewhere along the line, we're going to have to pay all that back with interest. And the people that we did wrong, just like you were saying, you know, those are the ones where the tide will be turned and they're going to be switched. They'll be looking at us and we'll be looking at them. And the bad part about it is that even when we die and go to hell, we're going to be in remembrance of those things. You're not going to forget about them. God is going to bring it all back to remembrance.
And so James doesn't let up too much.
Nope, he sure does.
He goes down, Sheila G, he says, you have, and this is James 5:5, he says, you have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanting. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just and does not and he does not resist you. In other words, the people didn't even stand a chance.
Mm-mm.
You slaughtered, you just took cold hard advantage and didn't care. You just utterly used and abused people. You have people that are users.
Mm.
And they use and they have no remorse and they have no conscience. It's like I'm just gonna have mine and I got mine, you get yours the best way you can, you know, shame on you. And they just keep going and keep going and keep going. But God says it's not always going to be that way. In verse 7, it says, be patient. He says, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord, behold, the husband waited for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. So what God is saying here is that we got to be like a farmer. The farmer that he goes through and he plows up the ground,
mm-hmm.
he plants the seed, and he's trusting God. He has faith that God's going to send some rain for the initial part of the planting, and then he's going to wait that whole period of time, and then the latter rain is going to come for the period of time right before the harvest. And so what God is saying in James to us is that God's got this. You got to be like the farmer. You can't get upset and be short tempered or impatient with God. God is gonna send the early rain and he's gonna send the latter rain. In other words, God knows what you need when you need it.
Amen.
And so you got to be like the farmer. The farmer, once he plows, once he turns that ground over and sends that seed, who is he waiting on? He's not waiting on man.
Come on.
Man, you ever seen anybody, man, bring any rain?
Well, come on now.
Man hadn't brought any rain. He does some rain dances and, you know, does some whole bunch of stuff, but he can't make it rain.
Uh-uh.
And so once you put that seed in the ground, what do you got to do?
You
got to wait and save. You look at the sun,
uh-huh.
and you know that God is a God of order. And there's always going to be a spring. There's always going to bring a summer. There's always going to be a fall. There's always going to be a winter. Anybody ever lived a day on a year in this earth and it wasn't a spring, it wasn't a summer, it wasn't a fall, it wasn't a winter. There was always a four seasons. There's always you can depend on God. That's why it says you can depend on God for the early rain and the latter rain.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's telling you that the unjust are going to get theirs, they're going to get theirs. But we just had to be patient and wait on God. God says, vengeance is mine. He's going to repay.
All right.
So in other words, we can't repay like God's going to pay. Mm-hmm. So he says, be patient. Be like the farmer. God's going to take care of it. They might be on top right now, but sooner or later, they're going to get taken care of. That's what I love about Psalm 37. We got a question in the audience.
You have a question, because I was always led to believe that, you know, we don't know God or his intent. He works in mysterious ways, mm-hmm. and God uses people. Does that kind of count for vengeance? Because I'm just saying, like, I kind of believe, too, that in an essence, if God wants to use vengeance, if he can use people. Now, granted, I don't know what the intent is, but do you believe that God can actually use people to act out his vengeance, since we do believe that God has the capability of using people sometimes to do his will? Does that apply with vengeance?
Well, and it's...
We're talking about more after that life is finished in this particular instance. Not he can't do that while we're on this earth, but we're talking about the finished part of it.
But to answer your question, God will allow certain things to happen that will cause certain people to fall. Prime example, 2008, Wall Street. You had all that were high on a hog using people's money. You had the real estate market where they were putting people in the houses and they couldn't afford them. Then you had the banks doing the foreclosures. All of that started happening. But God allowed the system to bring them all down.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, to answer your question, God may not use someone to be like turn James mean, to be mean to you, but God will allow certain things to happen. And I'm telling you, a lot of those people – were jumping off bridges, and you know, especially where suicide. I work, I know they were committing suicide, mm-hmm. which is dumb because they should have turned their lives around because they died at that point. Like you said, the afterlife is not good for them. Mm-hmm. But they were taking advantage of people and of the poor. And you had big companies like Lehman Brothers and Merrill Lynch, and they got swallowed up. The market now, they're a lot more humble. But that was God using it. And same thing with the election.
Yeah.
You know, it's like... okay, you're high on the hog, you're taking advantage of people, guess what, you guys got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting ready to do it again.
Oh yeah.
Amen. And I was talking about Psalm 37, Dr. Z, and he says in verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And this is the part that I like, Sheila Z. In verse 2, he says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. I laugh because some people go crazy about their grass in their house. There's nothing wrong with having finely manicured
yards.
But sooner or later, that sun is going to scorch. That grass is going to turn brown and wither.
Hello.
I don't care how much water you put on it.
That's right.
I don't care how much fertilizer you put on it. I don't care how much you mulch it, manure, whatever you put on it. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up.
Amen.
And go down. But the thing about God is, he'll allow it to come back up.
Hello.
The next year. But this is the way we need to understand. God has it under control. And so we need to wait for the early rain and the latter rain and understand that God can move when he wants to move. And, you know, all of our fretting, all of our worrying, all of our sleepless nights, all of our wondering when God's going to move is not going to make him move any faster or any slower.
Sure isn't.
He's got a plan, and he's going to work his plan.
And you know, you can't get caught up on what you see. A lot of times people will say, I know I'm living my life right, but when is my breakthrough going to come through? In fact, I was in the hospital the other day, and I heard someone in the bathroom in tears on the phone talking to someone, and the person kept saying, I know, but when is my breakthrough? When is my breakthrough? And she was basically saying, I see people that don't live as well as I live, but they're not going through what I'm going through. But you don't know the path that God has for you. So you just have to say, okay, this is my situation, but I can't look at someone else and say it seems like they're prospering more, but I'm living better than they're living.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that. You right. don't know that. And so that's what this whole patience thing is. Like, I need to look at my life, look at where I am, and stop focusing on other people. Because God, that relationship I'm having is with me and with God. And it's not with all these other people in it. So I just have to continue manifest the relationship that I have with him in my situation, whether it's a tough situation, whether it's an easy situation,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a pleasant, whether it's a good season or a bad season, but not to focus on those around him because God will take care of them.
Amen.
And this is what he says in verse 8, James 5:8, he says, be ye also patient, establish your hearts for the coming And then it says also in verse 9, grudge not one against another, brother, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. In other words, he's saying, while you're going through your difficulty time,
amen,
learn to establish a relationship with the Lord and not get, you know, involved with, you know, antagonizing each other. Sometimes when people are going through difficult times, they don't act godly. They act ugly. And I think everybody's guilty of it. And when you're having a bad day, I think there should be an excuse for us to just lash out at each other, right? Mm-hmm. You ever seen church folk come in with having a bad day and had their lip poked out, mad at everybody, can't smile? You say, good morning. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about grudge. Dr. G, he said grudge not. Grudge. Uh-huh. That means have a grudge. In other words, stop being nasty to each other.
Amen.
When you're going through.
Amen.
Attitude. Especially if your husband treated you wrong.
Come on.
That doesn't give you the excuse to come in and treat everybody else in the church wrong. Amen, light.
Amen.
If your cheering was off the chain.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't give you the right to come in and yell at everybody else's cheering. And so James is saying, he said, establish a relationship with God so that when trouble comes in, you can trust God that he's going to handle it and not treat other people around you bad.
Amen.
Because some people, if things are not going right in their life, they will kirk out on you.
Yes, they will.
They will flick out. You'll be like, where in the world did that come from?
All right.
I can't even recognize that person. Who is that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. But then as soon as things start turning around, they're like, good morning. How are you? They're like, you know, they're doing the whole Barney thing.
And the thing about that is you already feel bad. You're already upset for whatever your situation is. You may as well have a positive attitude, because being mad at everybody in the world, one, is not going to change your situation. And two, is going to make you feel worse.
Amen.
So you may as well say, okay, it is what it is. Put a smile on your face and at least try to do something to make yourself feel positive and happy, regardless of the fact that you're in that situation.
But you know, you got some folks that just don't want to be happy.
Ooh. We're gonna go to the phone line. I know we was having some difficult trouble with the phone line. We're just gonna get some folk on the line. Let's try 6326. 6326, you on the air. 6326. Try 7878. I'm sorry. 7878.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
Good. The question is, how do you deal with having adversity in your life? How do you deal with that? And how should you treat others while you're going through?
I believe it depends on the person and where they're at in their Christian walk. Because they may not know how to deal with certain situations, because it's, you know, they could just be a child, you know, a babe
right.
in Christ. So
mm-hmm.
for them, they could, you know, react totally different versus
right.
the reaction that a Christian would think a person who would have. But I believe every situation, it depends on the person and
mm-hmm.
how close their walk is with the Lord. It would depend on their situation and how they deal with it. Everyone's not going to deal with the situation the way that I may feel that they should deal with it or someone else. It all depends on that person and their growth in the Lord.
And so you had to take that in consideration, so you can't. But if they break bad with you, you can't break bad with them.
No.
Is that right?
No. No, you don't need to break bad with them. You just need to pray for them.
They might not be as mature.
But sometimes, you know, sometimes it might be best to walk away.
Right.
You know, and say, okay. You know, don't stand there and argue, just say, okay. And, you know, just walk away. Because, you know,
that's
what
he's talking about.
That's, you know, sometimes you're in situations where, you know, the battle is not yours and you're not, you don't want to fight. So you just feel that it's best sometimes, you know, just to walk away and just say, okay. Then later on, you know, just pray about the situation. And when things have calmed down, then you can go back to that person and, you
all
know,
right.
Let them
Thank
know
you
how
you comment.
How you feel about the situation. And maybe, you know, prayfully you can come together and mend the situation.
All right. Thank you for your comment.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to 2122. 2122.
2122. Praise the Lord and happy Thursday, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. We're asking the question. We're asking the question tonight. When things aren't going your way, how should you treat others?
Well, I think you should treat others the same way Jesus treats the church, and the church is his body, which is us. And that we have to love them. In fact, we have to love the H-E-L-L out of them. And the way to do that is humbleness.
Right.
Because I used to want to go the route of Psalm 144, verse 1. The Lord is my strength. He teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. You know what David said, right?
Right.
So, but that's not the way to treat our Christian brothers and sisters or anyone else of the world.
Amen.
But we have to love the H-E-L-L out of them and
That's
go
right.
forth in Jesus Christ's name. That's all I have
Amen.
To say.
All right. God bless you. Thank you for your comment.
God bless
you. All right. We're going to go to 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor. First Lady.
Hey.
Pastor Gregory, how you all?
Doing Matt. Well. Matt.
Good. It's very easy to say, you know what you should do, but sometimes you don't always do it.
That's true.
So I just thank God that I have a Holy Spirit that convict me, because sometimes I don't always do things the way I should. Sometimes situations come up, you know, it catch you in a stressful situation, or either, you know, you're not exactly as prayed up, you know, prepared for it. But I just thank God that there is a time that you can always go back and refresh and also go back. And sometimes you have to ask people for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find myself sometimes when I have a lot on my mind, I'm not always saying the right things the right way. But you know, I'm constantly asking God to help me. So I thank God for the Holy Spirit that convicts me inside and let me know. Because even when I do things that I know is not right, the Holy Spirit works with me.
Amen. We thank you for your comment. I think we're going to get one more. Try one more. We're going to try that 6326 one more time. 6326, are you there? 6326? You must not be on the line. But anyway, Dr. G, it's like what they were saying is we have to learn to keep from just jumping all over people, especially when they're not the ones that's causing the problem.
Right.
It's like, it's easy to take it out on people, especially the ones you love. It's like the ones you love are the ones that are easiest to catch.
That's right.
And so you have to get to the point where it's like, you know, you got to live with me so I can come home and just snap at you anyway. Because you ain't going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Especially your kids, where they going to go? To their room? Has any, and y'all be honest with me tonight, has any parents ever really did something to your kids and you really did it to them? Said something to them, you really should have said something to them. Amen. Yeah, and then you had to go back and you had to apologize.
Ugh.
it's kind of rough when you're a kid, when you're a parent, you're like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I shouldn't have snapped at you like that. You know, I didn't get the whole story. I should have listened. You know, wah, wah, wah. And you apologize. And that's the way God wants us to be. He wants us to love each other. And like Minister Lindsay said, is that we're not always at our best all the time, especially when you're under stress. Mm-hmm. When you're under stress, Dr. G, I don't know about you. I'm liable to say almost anything.
Amen. I mean, you know, it's a thing where, you know, we try to be as focused in Christ as possible. And, you know, we are supposed to be examples of Christ. But, you know, I tell Sheila all the time, I'm not Jesus. I will lose my cool. And when you're dealing with all of life's pressures, I don't care how much Christ you got in you. Sometimes you might do some things or say some things you know you shouldn't have. But, you know, that's what repentance is for. And you thank God that the Lord is there to always forgive you.
Amen. Amen. And that's where grace comes in.
Right.
Because if it wasn't for grace, I think everybody would be in trouble.
Amen.
Because the Bible says there's none righteous.
None righteous, not one.
And all have sinned and come short of what?
Mm-hmm.
The glory of God. And so this is what he's saying to Jane. He said, don't grudge one another. Don't be at odds with each other. Don't judge. You know, he says, you know, ease up sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had to ease up sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
Give somebody a little grace.
Yep.
Anybody ever been on the road driving?
All the time.
And these folks, they act like you're not even there.
Amen.
Even with the light on your truck, brother. Just pull right in front of you.
With it all on your tail.
And it is cutting or whatever. And you just got to tap your brake. And you just got to give them some grace. Because what I found was I was always like, on them. Get out of the way, you fool. You can't drive. Blah, 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 blah. What's your problem? Blah, 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 blah. But when I needed some grace, when I was in a hurry, everybody was just supposed to let me in. And, you know, my wife, she famous. She'll throw a hand up like that. She'll cut you off, make you slam on brakes, throw a hand up. Well, I'm sorry. Thank you.
But you got right there. As Christians, it's hard for us to say, I'm sorry. Mm-mm. It's hard for us to say that or admit we're wrong.
I'm wrong, right.
You know, or that we've made a mistake.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've known folk who are saved in the ministry and outside the ministry, and they would go around telling people that I'm perfect.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm growing. I'm learning. But they're perfect.
They got some bad doctrine. Because if you look at your life on a daily basis, there's some things that you thought. See, that's the thing. There's some things that you thought. You've been sitting in a conference room with some folks.
Hello.
Anybody been there?
Been there.
You sitting in a conference room with some folks or in a meeting with some folks, and you thinking some crazy things. Like, what in the world is their problem?
They done.
Or won't they just sit down? You ever had a cuss word coming to you in your mind? I'm just being real tonight.
Come on.
You sitting there.
Come on.
You sitting there and you cussing in your mind.
Your
if they just sit there.
Like that.
And shut the.
Up.
And you sitting there. And you help me, Lord Jesus. And you help me, Lord Jesus. Because it'll just come up. Sometimes you can even be sitting in church. And somebody act up.
Amen.
And you find them thoughts coming. Am I real tonight? Can we keep it real tonight?
Go ahead.
You sitting down and somebody doing something you know they shouldn't be doing.
Mm.
And you saying to yourself, what they just... And do they understand? And why won't they just... And you sitting in church.
Amen.
And that's when you say, Lord, help me.
Help me.
Let us pray. Please, Jesus, forgive me. And you got to get ready to get up.
Come on.
Or you got to sing a song.
Come on.
Help my mind.
Mm.
Because it's rough. But that lets you know, that lets you know that's why you need to stay in relation, establish that relationship with God, because you know that, that, you know, all of us at any second is apt to slip up.
Amen.
and make a mistake. And so you just can't think you gangster and you can handle it all by yourself. Mm-hmm. You need God. We need God.
Crucify that flesh every single day. That's why you have to, because that's, all of us are fleshy. We're just fleshy. And stuff comes up, and that's why you have to pray and ask the Lord to forgive you for whatever you thought, your thought, word, or deed. Because it is going to come up. It is going to come out that way, and that's why we just have to continue to be aware of it. And when you make that mistake, repent of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, you know, it's not an excuse to say, well, it just came out, and I'm not perfect. Okay, that's fine that you're not there, that you're not perfect, but when you make that mistake, you need to correct it.
And we should every year we should be getting better.
Amen.
We shouldn't be stuck.
Amen.
The way we used to.
Amen.
Well, we used to fight at a drop of a hat.
Okay.
Now it should take a few more things before we get there.
Mm-hmm.
And every year we should get better. And so that's all James is saying. He's like, you know, establish a relationship with God. Don't worry about what the rich folk gonna do. They gonna do them, but God got them. Establish a relationship with God. Don't get mad if somebody treats you bad and then you take it out on somebody else that hasn't done anything to you.
Amen.
He said, that's not right. Get it together. James is very practical. He understands us. He understands our frame. He understands how our makeup is. And so he's just giving us some practical tips to put into our lives every day so that we won't lose our mind up in here.
Mm.
Up in here. Sheila G.
Amen, amen. And that's the thing. That's why we have to pray every single day to the Lord to keep our mind, keep our thoughts, and to help us to be humble. You are humble. That will help you to be patient. A lot of people are not humble. They're very arrogant. And because they're arrogant, they think that they're perfect. Or when they make a mistake, because of their arrogance, they can't go back and apologize.
Hmm. And that's one of the things I like about Bible study and church school, is it helps to be able to talk about this
mm-hmm.
stuff. That's what I love about this Thursday night T-Nut, There's Nothing New Under the Sun, is that sometimes you got to articulate it. Sometimes you got to, you know, just get it out, because some people are thinking it but won't say it.
Amen.
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 And you have to get to the point where you can, you know, open up that conversation where people say, you know, I didn't know pastor thinking about cussing people out.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know the first lady was ready to cuss somebody, was saying something underneath her breath.
It happened.
In other words, she's not perfect. She's not perfect. He's not perfect either.
It happened.
And you have to realize, yes, this stuff is real. And so this is what you have to talk about so people can see that this is we live in this flesh, and this flesh is, who said it was a bad mother? Shut your mouth. That was somebody saying Shaft or something like that. Yeah. Bad mother, shut your mouth. But we have to understand this is what happens in this flesh. And if we don't study the word, if we don't get the reiteration from James and all the rest of these biblical characters, then we'll just keep going down the wrong road. But when you hear that word will become your conscience and let you say, hey, you're not supposed to do that. You should repent of that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get into the word, you never know. You don't know.
That's right.
You don't have a conscience. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. We apologize for our earlier technical difficulties. But, you know, it's Thursday night, and the enemy always trying to throw something at us on Thursday night. Dr. G, would you close us out in prayer, please?
Amen. Would you bow your heads? Gracious God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, again for another evening in your word. Lord, we thank you for Brother James. We thank you, Lord, for him spelling things out in such a plain manner. Lord, we pray right now that as we continue to examine self and examine the word, Lord, and we find that we are nowhere near perfection. But, Father, we're striving to be better today than what we were yesterday. And Lord, we ask that if it's your will, that you give us another day. That Lord, we're going to work on that to be better than what we were today. Father, we pray now that you would continue to shine down that light from heaven and grant us those things that we stand in need of. Lord, we pray for those that have called in. We pray for those that have come out. Lord, I ask that you would grant us traveling mercies now. And Lord, until we come together again, we ask these and all other blessings and favors in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next Thursday night.